America, from the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, you are tuned in to the Johnny Punish Show, produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio, brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Let's get this show rockin'!
I've spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun. And I hit the ground running.
Welcome to Punish Radio. We have Cynthia Temor Cioglu from Canada. She's technically an expat from Canada living in Playa del Carmen part-time, 6 months out of the year, 3 months out of the year. She's going to talk to us right now about what it's like to live in Playa del Carmen and all the ins and outs, pros and cons, and share them with you. Cynthia, are you on?
I'm here, JP. Thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure. Cynthia, we want to talk to you about living in Playa del Carmen. You're clearly been coming to Playa del Carmen for, what, 8 years now? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And first, just staying with my brother, but eventually as owners.
And so you moved here for what reasons? Why are you living in Playa del Carmen part-time during the year? Tell us more about the reasons you chose Playa del Carmen.
Well, I don't know that it was particularly the reasons we chose Playa del Carmen. It was more the lifestyle, the weather, the people. Playa happened to be the place we ended up because my brother lived here first. So we would come and visit him and fell in love with Playa. We are from the west coast of Canada, and some years, especially this year, we get terrific snowstorms. This year was a really bad one, so you know, we don't like the snow, but we love the sun and the beach, and I love the sun. So we decided to come down here, hang out with my brother, fell in love with the place, and eventually bought a place because our plan is to spend 6 months here. Right now we've been here as much as 3 months at a time. 1 year we were down here three times in 1 year, which was interesting. We usually make it in the springtime, January, February, and we're here for up to 3 months at this point.
So technically you're actually almost a snowbird.
Pretty much, yeah. I would call us a sunbird because we're going away from the snow, right?
Okay.
So we're
sunbird, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and of course, let's get right into it. Let's talk about real estate because that's the number one thing, right? You come down to Playa del Carmen. Do you rent? Do you buy a condo? What was your experience? People are scared. Can I own? Do I need a trust? Go ahead and tell us how you did this and how you found the right kind of condo and why did you buy versus rent?
Well, for us, it was very much a personal decision. As I say, my brother lives here. Had he not lived here, we would have never bought here. Mm-hmm. We come because we have a very close relationship. Mm-hmm. So for us, wherever he was, we would have been coming and visiting. And because he chose to live here, we eventually bought a place because, you know, there's only so much hospitality your brother wants to give you year after year.
Right.
So we decide to rent it, buy a place, and we use it as a rental property as well. So it's an extra source of income for us,
wow.
Right? Because that's huge. You can't just have one source of income. That's been our philosophy throughout our married life. So when we're not here, we rent our condo out, and it sustains itself that way. We're not putting extra money into it.
Right, right. So you buy it in the first place, and then during the times you're not here, you're able to get that income. Talk about that. How much income is that? Is that enough to at least pay the expenses? I mean, where does it sit? Because people out there are wondering, should I buy or should I not? Is it going to work out for them?
Right. And again, it's a personal preference. Fortunately, when we did buy, my brother was selling real estate. So we had the luxury and the peace of mind of knowing that we had a good person in our corner taking care of us. You have to make sure you have someone who's very familiar with all the ins and outs of the local market, how it works, that there's a title in place is really important because some places are sold with no title and that can lead to problems down the road. So for us, we had peace of mind of knowing that my brother was taking care of it. Matter of fact, we signed a power of attorney the day we left the country. And we went home, and my brother took care of everything until the point he said, okay, it's yours, you own it.
Gotcha.
We had nothing to do.
Well, most people don't have a brother in the marketplace,
so
they need to be careful.
Yeah, so you got to make sure you have someone reputable to help you. It's lifestyle. It's what you want. Do you want to be concerned about having a property in another country? Besides my brother helping us buy it, the woman that we have as our property manager, knew my brother personally and used to work for him. So again, there's that connection, and she knows that we're family. Mm-hmm. So she takes really good care of us. So it's connecting yourself with the proper people.
Right? Okay, so invest a little time. Come on down here, invest time learning the real estate agents and the brokers, and find someone that you trust and like, and be very careful, check the references, make sure they're decent people, because unlike Canada, which is a regulated market in terms of they have to get licenses and all this stuff, it doesn't really exist like that in Mexico, is that correct?
Yes, and I would suggest that when you do come down here, you make some very good points. Talk to other people that are down here, expats. Meet the expats, ask them, are you renting or are you an owner? If they're an owner, ask them, how does that work for you, and do you rent it when you're not here? Get their advice. Who would you recommend, right? And don't just ask one person. Talk to a few people, and then talk to the people that are renting and say, you know, what's your rental company like? You know, do you have any problems when you have an issue and you get a hold of your rental company? Are they taking care of you? And then you find out who the good rental companies are too, and who you can decide to take care of your property when you're not here.
Okay. So as an owner of a condo, yes, happy, not happy?
I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. We specifically got a two-bedroom condo because we love sharing it with the people that we love. So family, friends, there's always a constant cycle of people coming to stay with us while we're here.
Right. Just in the 2 weeks I've been here, you've already had some friends from Chilliwack, Canada, visit you here. And now, as I walked in, you got a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law here staying. It's like a hotel.
Right. And we have other people coming in on Friday, but they have their own condo, friends of ours, longtime friends. And when we bought down here, they decided they should as well. So they have a condo. We have other people that might be coming to see us and stay with us in April. So it's like, yeah.
Well, I guess it's not a hard sell, right? I mean, come to Playa del Carmen, the Caribbean beaches, the warm weather. You're not exactly twisting arms, are you?
No, are you kidding me? We say, you know what? All you have to do is get the hotel, the airfare, and you have a place to stay with us.
Wow. So it's actually a pretty cheap deal.
It's a great deal. Yeah. And we love being able to share that with people.
Yeah, that's
right?
Beautiful. I think that's the perfect way to do it. For those of you listening, if you're in a position where you can afford a condo, or even if you're wealthy or semi-wealthy, wow, what a great thing to do for your family and share. So that's basically you're doing this for family, and friends.
More so. Because, you know, we often get people. I have a Facebook page for my condo specifically, and I have people contacting me all the time saying, hey, can we come and rent your place? And it's always when we're here. Mm-hmm. So really, if we weren't here, we could make a lot more money, but that's not why we bought this place. We bought it for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And when we're not here, if it can be rented to others, great. But we're not going to give up our time here to make a few bucks.
Right, right. So I guess a lot of people in Canada, the U.S., snowbirds or sunbirds, that's probably a good way to look at it is, look, if you break even, you're doing good because you're enjoying your vacations basically at no more cost.
Exactly.
So don't take that for granted, right? Just enjoy that part of it. Mm-hmm. Don't try to make millions of dollars because you're not.
And that's not why we bought it. We bought it for our enjoyment and to share it with others. And if it can sustain itself while we're not here, perfect, right?
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. Because a lot of people here in the marketplace, if you walk around real estate agents, you know, they'll talk to you about return on investment, ROI. We'll give you 8%, 10%, and, you know, and throw that numbers out to you. But really what they're talking about is the high season. That's where you get the majority of your income, which would be the winter time, right? Christmas, January, etc. But then you got to give up that time.
Exactly.
So what's the point of it?
Right? The whole point of it is to come down here during that time and get away from our winters. And I don't think we would ever be year-round down here. I understand that the summers are very hot and very humid. And my brother, who actually lives down here, in the summertime, he comes up to Canada for 2 or 3 months, right? And that's our plan. Like, if I could be down here from November to April and then spend the summers up in Canada, perfect. The best of both worlds.
Perfect lifestyle, huh?
Right?
Wow.
Love it.
Okay, tell us about Playa del Carmen, why you love Playa del Carmen, the city, the town, the beaches, etc. Tell us about that.
The beaches are so beautiful. When we got married, we went to Puerto Vallarta, and we went there probably about 20 years ago as well. But there's no comparison between the East Coast and the West Coast. The West Coast is, for one thing, in my opinion, Puerto Vallarta is very tourist and very Americanized, I call it. Like, mind you, Playa is becoming that way too. But the Caribbean feel on the East Coast, the colors, the sand, the the palm trees everywhere. It's the blues and greens and turquoises that you expect in the Caribbean, right? You don't get that on the West Coast. Playa, I love, it's changed a lot since we've been here. It used to have a real Mexican flavor, and that's what brought us to Mexico. We don't come here to do, I call it Americanized, but I don't mean the USA particularly. I mean Canada, US. There's malls popping up. All the major brand name stores are popping up down here, which I get. It's a tourist town. They have to sustain their economy. The tourists want that. I came to Mexico for the culture, for the tradition, for fumbling along in my broken Spanish and seeing them smile at my efforts, right? There's nothing I enjoy more than going for a walk in the morning, and the gardeners are out there taking care of all the grounds and making the town beautiful. And most of the tourists just have a blind eye and don't even recognize these people and their efforts. And like some of these people get the equivalent of $80 a week income, right? But they make this town so beautiful. So when I'm walking in the morning, if I see a guy doing his grounds work, gardener or whatever, I'll stop and I'll say in Spanish, I'll say good morning. And I mean, I know one phrase, muy bonito, that means very pretty or very beautiful. So I will make a hand gesture to his garden and say muy bonito. And their face just lights up. Not only did this gringo acknowledge me, but she complimented my work.
Right?
And that makes them, you can tell, it fills them with joy, and it just makes me feel so nice because I've acknowledged them as a person and appreciated their efforts.
Wow. And that's building a bridge right there. Okay, Cynthia, we're gonna put it on hold for a commercial break just for 30 seconds. We'll be right back to you. I want to talk to you about immigration in terms of do you come down here and get a residence card or do you come as a tourist? What makes sense in that legal area because people want to know about that. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
You're tuned in to BT Radio. Produced by the Veterans Today Network. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com. America's job board for U.S. veterans. Find your job at HireVeterans.com.
Okay, we're back with Cynthia from Canada talking about moving to Playa del Carmen. Cynthia, let's talk about immigration or how do you come down for 3 to 6 months? Do you need to become a legal resident or you just get on the plane and sign that piece of paper that says you're a tourist? What do you know?
Well, I just hop on a plane. Just put me there. And if they don't want to send me home again, that's okay. I don't mind.
All right, so basically you're on a tourist visa.
Seriously, I'm on a tourist visa. But you know what? I'm going to mention something because nobody told me this until after the fact when 1 year I traveled here by myself. And when I came home, my husband told me this. That little piece of paper that they give you after you fill out your form and you go through the security and stuff and they stick that little piece of paper in your passport, don't lose that. You need to have that to leave the country again. So be careful of that. Nobody told me that. I thought it was just whatever.
Right.
I didn't realize I had to have it. If I had known, I would have tossed it a long time ago, and then I could never leave.
Well, immigration-wise, as long as, if you're Canadian or American, as long as you're not here longer than 6 months, then technically speaking, you can come on a tourist visa. But if you're going to stay longer, you have to get that tourist visa renewed. So you have to leave the country, and you have to come back. So in this case, in Playa del Carmen, you'll have to go to Belize, which is 4 hours south, enter Belize, come back to Mexico, and get another tourist visa to stay another 6 months.
And people do that. That's not a hardship. That's not a hardship. I mean, it's a beautiful drive down to Belize. It's like
right?
Very pretty.
You got to pass Tulum, Tulum is really ugly, right? It's terrible on the Caribbean, right? Only the Mayan ruins or famous Mayan ruins are there. You're going to pass Lake Bacalar, which is the second largest lake in all of Mexico. 50 miles long. It's one big pool that you can jump in. It's super warm.
I love Bacalar. It's amazing. I mean, I have a little story.
Okay.
A Canadian, when you say go in the lake, mm-hmm. Lakes in Canada are cold. I don't care if it's the middle of summer. The lakes are cold. So we're down in Bacalar with my brother and his wife, and they knock on our door at 8 o'clock in the morning and said, we're going to go down to the wharf, and Sean's going to cut up this big pineapple that we picked up on our way down, and you guys can stand in the water, and he'll hand us slices. And I'm thinking, 8 o'clock lake, right?
Right.
No. The lake was like a bathtub. 8 o'clock in the morning, it was so warm. It was such a strange concept.
beautiful, isn't it?
Amazing.
It's and the most beautiful thing in the world.
The colors of that lake are like the tropical Caribbean ocean. The blues and the greens, amazing colors.
Yeah, I took my wife down there and I couldn't get her out of the water. I literally could not get her out of the water. But anyway, yeah, we could talk about Bacalar. It's another time. But so what you need is, if you're going to stay longer than 6 months, legitimately you can always get the, it's actually very easy now to get a residence card here to live. It used to be very difficult 10 years ago, but now it's a matter of 6 weeks. You apply, prove that you make over a couple grand a month, so that way you don't take people's jobs, and then that's it. That's all you need. It's one of the easiest places in the world to move to. And considering all the issues that they're having on the other side of the border, they don't want people. Mexico's happy to have you. Mm-hmm. And let's segue to that from that to cost of living. Now, with the cost of living here, there's two things. Number one, you're here for 3 to 6 months. How are you sustaining yourself economically? Most people have jobs and they can come for a week or two, but you're here for 3 months. What are you doing? Are you working online? What's happening with that?
Well, when my brother first moved here, we contemplated coming with them, but we couldn't figure out how to have an income because you can't come down here and get a job. You're not allowed to. You can come down here and be a business owner, and I'm not sure if you actually have to have a Mexican national as a partner or not. But you can come down here, you can buy a business, from what I understand, and you can employ locals. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to pay attention and be babysitting and taking care of, and it's a 9-to-5 or more because it's a business, right? So we didn't want that. So we didn't end up coming originally, like pack up and leave. But about 3 years ago, I got involved with a network marketing company, and it's an online source of income for me. So perfect. I can be wherever I want to be in the world as long as I have an internet connection, mm-hmm. I have an online business, and I can be earning an income. Okay. So,
what is that online business, can I ask?
I work with a company called Nucerity International. They have medical technology for people with skin issues. So everything from aging to people with psoriasis, rosacea, acne problems, scarring. It helps with all that. There's 8 products in my line. I don't have to inventory any of it. It's all done online at my own personal website.
Oh, what's your website address?
I actually have a business website that covers everything. It's called WeRollSuccess.com. And on there, I've put information about the business itself. There's also a tab on there that says try the products. So if people want to see the products, just click the try the products tab. And that takes you to my e-commerce website.
Can you say that again, the website address again, please?
WeRollSuccess.com.
Love that name. WeRollSuccess.com. Let's not forget that. Let's go check that out, folks, and see what she's doing. Because if anything, get some ideas of how you can do it. Maybe you can join Cynthia with Nucerity. Or maybe you can just get ideas on how to create your own online business. But the bottom line is try to create a stream of income so you can spend 3 to 6 months down here or even move down here full time without actually taking someone's job. Because what Mexico is concerned about is that you're taking someone's local job. You know, you can still get a job down here, but you have to go through the process of legal residency and then get a work permit. And it's not impossible. People do it all the time. But it is a process. You have to invest in living here full time. In Cynthia's case, of course, because you are a sunbird, then you get a tourist visa, you work online, everybody's happy, everybody loves you, nobody hates you, you're spending your money in town, you're making money. Let's talk about cost of living. What have you noticed differently in terms of food costs or living costs while you're here in Playa del Carmen?
I talk about this all the time. I have a blog that I do, and I've done this blog for years and years on stories about what I do in Mexico. And I love posting about the food and the price of food. It's amazing how economically you can live down here. I mean, we don't eat on the tourist strip. There's one street here called Fifth Avenue. It's a pedestrian street with all the nightlife and the restaurants and the tourist shopping. We don't eat there because you're tourist prices, right? So what you do when you get familiar and when you get climatized to lifestyle down here is you wander around off the main tourist area and you find the streets that have the restaurants more in the locals areas, and you watch which one has a crowd. Mm-hmm. The one that has the crowd, you know the food is good because the locals are eating there, and the food is cheap because the locals are eating there, right? So we went out for dinner. There's a place here we love called Doña Marie, and it has tacos and, well, I won't tell you the names because most of you won't know what it means. But we had dinner for two, with non-alcoholic drinks, and it was like less than $5 American.
Right? And you invited my wife and I to have dinner with you the other night at, how do you pronounce it? Doña Marie?
Doña Marie.
Doña Marie. And the food was outrageously delicious. And like you say, it's local cost, maybe $5 for two. And of course, that's with fresh juices, like coconut juice or fresh mango juice or fresh watermelon juice. The fruits down here are amazing, right?
Amazing.
Mangoes and this and that. Papayas, if you like papayas. They have tostadas and they have the tacos. But what I did notice is this great singer that we were there named Eri, E-R-I, Rodriguez. And on VeteransDayLive.com, we're going to see if we can post a video to this young lady, a local lady that was singing for us in Spanish. And if I can get that video and post it on YouTube and post it on the show here, I think you'll be amazed what's the local flavor and talent of music and foods. And it's just amazing, isn't it, Cynthia?
It's amazing. I mean, for people who tend to enjoy their drink, you can get a liter. It's a local brand. It's called Oso Negro. And we like our gin and tonics when we're down here. For us, that's a hot weather drink. Yeah. We can get a liter of gin for like $10 US.
Okay.
At home, a 750 of gin is costing us in Canada about $45.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Four times more as much.
Exactly.
Really.
Right?
So that kind of gives you a perspective on the cost of living down here. What are the things and costs that you notice that's different than Canada?
I know electricity is really expensive down here. I don't exactly understand why, but it's very expensive. Travel, a taxi, it's super cheap. And they regulated their taxi costs, so pretty much the taxi drivers are supposed to regulate the costs. I mean, they might tell you it's 100 pesos to take you, say, down to Puerto Aventuras. I don't know if that's exactly the price, but just to give you an idea, 20-minute ride in a taxi, 100 pesos, that's like less than $10. That's about $8.
Yeah, right? Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, American dollars, that'd be $5.
Yeah.
Because the Canadian dollar, correct me if I'm wrong, is about 14-1.
I believe
today.
That's right.
And today's American dollar is about 20-1.
Right.
So the Americans are actually benefiting even more than the Canadians in terms of the exchange rate, right?
Yeah.
But still, Canadians are still winning.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely a benefit to be here. And they have, as well as taxi, they have things called Colectivo, and it's like a van that's been gutted and has a whole bunch of seats in it, and it goes up and down the highway and stops at all the places. So you go to where they all collect here in town, where the start-off point is. You tell them, I want to go to Puerto Aventuras. So they load up the bus, the little van, and it, as I say, stops all along the way, and he'll just drop you at your place, and it might cost you like, okay, good example, Acomal. Acomal is where you used to be able to go on the turtle tours, which right. I understand they're not doing that anymore. But you go to Acomal.
So that's where you go snorkeling with the turtles out in the bay.
Snorkeling with the turtles, yeah. It's a nice little community just down the way from Playa. It takes about 20 minutes to get there, I think. So you get on the Colectivo, 35 pesos, that's like $2.
$2,
not
yeah.
even. And you get a ride down there, you spend the day at this beautiful beach, and then you come out and get a Colectivo when you're ready to go home. There's no set time, they just fill up the Colectivo and off they go. And then the next one pulls up, and they just keep filling them up and keep going. It's not like a bus schedule at home, so simple to get around.
So overall, the cost of being in Playa del Carmen is less than in Canada on most things.
Absolutely.
And you notice that significant.
Oh, huge difference. I think my husband was saying that he was checking our expenses one year, and I think all in, and we do a lot more restaurant eating here than we do at home, because at home is $50 for two people to go and have a simple meal,
wow.
right? So here, and that's without booze, here we do a lot more eating out because we have lots of friends and we want to show them this place and that place and whatever, whatever. So we will spend maybe on the high end $1,000 a month to live here. Mm-hmm. That's everything.
Right.
So that's
wow.
like...
A lot less than it would be in Canada.
A lot less. Because we're eating out down here at probably when we have guests, I would say at least 3 or 4 times a week. At home, it might be 3 or 4 times a month.
Wow, what a difference.
Right.
So different lifestyle completely.
Completely.
Let's talk about that. We're going to take a station break real quick. We're going to talk about lifestyle and the international flavor of Playa del Carmen, because that's something that's very unique in Mexico and Playa del Carmen. We'll be right back in 30 seconds.
You're tuned in to BT Radio, produced by the Veterans Today Network, brought to you by HireVeterans.com. Find your job at HireVeterans.com.
All right, we're back with Cynthia, and we're talking about the international flavor of Playa del Carmen. It is unique in this area. The area actually is called the Riviera Maya, which consists of Cancun, Playa del Carmen, Tulum, which is about, from a drive standpoint, about 3-hour drive or so. And then, of course, it goes all the way down to Belize, and that's the coast of El Maya. Tell us about the international flavor of Playa del Carmen, and what do you notice that's different here than you've seen elsewhere?
Wait, there's a lot of Europeans here, because apparently it's very economical for them to come across from Europe. A lot of Italians in town, lots of great Italian restaurants, lots of fine dining Italian restaurants here. Lots of French Canadians come down because, of course, we're on the East Coast, so you get a lot of the Quebecois here. Mm-hmm. There's people from everywhere. It's amazing. Every time you go out and you say, hey, where are you from? You're meeting someone from somewhere else, but it's interesting how many times we find people from our own backyard. I was helping one year with the Rotary, because we like to do that when we're down here, mm-hmm. and we were collecting pesos for something, so we're standing out asking for money, and some guy says, oh yeah, I'm from Chilliwack, and I looked at him and I went, what? Chilliwack is like 60,000 people about an hour outside of Vancouver, right? What's the likelihood on the other side of the continent in another country, and the guy lived on the same street we used to live on? So amazing.
But generally speaking, you meet people from Italy, from the Spain, from Argentina, Brazil. So this place truly is international. I think that's one of the things my wife really likes about it, is that she gets to speak a lot of languages and meet a lot of different people from all over the world, which makes it very interesting, is it not?
Right, because, as you say, you meet everybody from everywhere. I mean, we've made friends here from all over. There's one couple that are expats, and they're actually Spanish. Mm-hmm. They have a home in Spain, so they spend their time between here and Spain. Mm-hmm. And we have met lots of Canadians, of course, and Americans, but everywhere.
Okay.
Our friends that just left us, they're huge conversationalists. Every time they go out, they meet new people, and they're coming back and tell us, oh, I met this cool person from who knows what part of the world.
Everybody. Well, you just go down to Manny's, the German place, and everybody's German. We went down to Manny's restaurant to get some prime rib. He's got prime rib on Sundays.
Right.
And I go in there, and it looked like to me I was in Munich. Like, are you kidding me? Like, everybody was speaking German. I felt like I didn't know what to say. I was like,
right.
I don't even know how to say hello in German. Does anybody know how to say hello in German? I don't know.
I can. I can say a little.
Can
bit.
You?
How do you say a little bit of German?
How do you say hello in German? Do you know?
Guten Tag, wie geht es Ihnen? That's like, good day, how are
you? Oh, there you go. See, you know, I should have took you to there.
And then they answer me and I say, no, that's all I know.
But the point is, wow, right? We were having dinner the other night at La Brocherie on 15th, near 6th Street, downtown. And the owner is a lady from Paris, and with her son, they own the restaurant, and it's packed. It's a little French restaurant. All the seats are packed, no matter what time of day or the week. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday night, Wednesday, or whatever. And all they serve is rotisserie chicken, but with a French flavoring. You know, the French are very particular about their flavorings, and you can tell. And it's really good, and the prices are fantastic, so if you haven't been there.
Right. I know the one you're talking about. We've considered it. And that's the beautiful thing, is you can get French food, you can get Italian food, you can get German food, you can get sushi. I mean, it's all here.
Right.
But for us, we want the Mexican food. We come here for the culture of Mexico,
of
right?
Of course.
If I want sushi and chicken and stuff, I can have it at home. But sometimes I get it. People that are only here for a short period, they want to stick to stuff that their digestion can handle, and they want, and maybe you get tired of the tacos all the time.
So. Right, but let's talk about the Mexican flavor, because, you know, once you get off Fifth Avenue, boom, you're in Mexico, right? So you get the tacos, you get the all the great foods of Mexico, and they're diverse, right? And that's where you get the inexpensive foods as well, right? It's because it's local prices. So, and local architecture, local, like I've noticed in your condo, you have very Mexican style architecture in your home, which was the wood chairs with the nice colorful walls. It's a beautiful Mexican culture. You know, it's something to experience for sure. So for those of you listening out there, come to Mexico and check out the culture. It's pretty amazing people. And let's discuss the people real quick. The people of Mexico. When you go to the interior, you've been to other places like Valladolid, which is in the jungle, and all the ruined places. And yet there you meet the actual Mayan people, right? They're, by the way, they're not extinct. I know you get taught that in school somewhere, like, oh, the Mayan Empire ended 500 years ago. And that's technically true, but the people are still here. Their empire just withered away, but the people are still here. And you can see them in their homes, in their huts, in the jungles, and a lot of them speak Mayan. So if you actually talk to them, they do speak Mayan at home. So it's very interesting when you go see these little pueblos. I know you guys take a ride out there to the pueblos. Have you done that before?
We have. We again, because we have our brother here who has a car, we often do trips out to just to the little villages and stuff because we want the real feel of Mexico. We want to get away from the whole tourist industry. So we go to those little communities just to spend the day. You know, Mexican people are so generous. And they're so content, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever, in all the years I've been here, seen an angry Mexican person. Like, I've never seen a squabble or an altercation.
Right.
They're all smiling, they're happy, they're contented, they will help you, they're generous. I mean, it's amazing when you think that their income is like, as I said, sometimes $80 a week.
Right.
But they're content, and they're happy, and it's family.
And you feel that spirituality.
I love it.
How do you explain that? Because the Canadian news, and more so the American news, has a perspective of Mexico that is absolutely incorrect. Completely incorrect. I mean, I'll speak as an American telling you about the American news, and you can speak about Canada. But the Americans have a completely different perspective of Mexico, and it's really wrong. And I don't know how to say wrong in the strongest manner. If there's a better word for wrong, maybe put it in big capitals or yell it. Maybe wrong. I mean, I don't know how to say it, but it's completely, it's ridiculous. You know, they come down here and they're scared of the Mexican people. Well, they are looking for safety. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because it's not there. And what you described right now is absolutely true. What is the Canadian, it's a little less than Canada, right? Is that fair to say that?
Okay, so I don't listen to the news.
Okay.
I don't follow politics. Mm-hmm. I have my own personal opinion. Now, this may not be the way it is. It's my perception of things. So everybody don't hate me on this.
Okay.
My personal perception is that the media creates a fear to try and keep the Canadians and or the Americans in their own country and keep the money in their own country. So what better way to do that than to sensationalize everything that's happening in Mexico? There was a shooting in Mexico. Well, excuse me, we have shootings in Chilliwack. You don't hear that all over the news saying, don't come to Chilliwack. And actually, Chilliwack has a really bad record for crime and violence, which I only just knew about. 60,000 little town.
Small town.
And we have a really bad reputation. So are you avoiding Chilliwack like the plague?
Right.
No.
No.
So personally, I think that it's over-sensationalized so that the governments can keep their money in their own country. And they're saying, don't go there, it's scary. I mean, even, and not even from a violence point of view, but from storm warnings. Because, you know, we're in the tropics down here, and they have hurricanes come through. Mm-hmm. So they tell us, oh yeah, Playa del Carmen got wiped out by this hurricane, blah, blah, blah. And then my brother phones me, he says, by the way, it's not so bad as they're making it sound. It's a strong tropical storm. Everything is fine. Yes, one year it was really bad, but the whole country of Mexico sent workers, like a whole drone of worker bees came in, and within days, apparently, they had it up and running again because it's their economy, the tourist community,
right?
So Mexico comes together when there's a storm or a problem, and they fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole fear thing, wow, that's pretty powerful, and we see that happen all the time. But I can assure you that people that are listening around the world to this, please shut off your television.
Yes.
Come to Mexico and enjoy it because it's wrong. What you're thinking is completely wrong. Come find out for yourself. And when you do, then go back and tell your family and friends what you found out. Because it's really not healthy to be involved in hyperbole. It's better to come and experience Mexico as it is, not as somebody living in Atlanta, Georgia on a television says.
That has never been out of the country.
That's right.
We have people at home say to us, are you sure it's safe? I mean, we've been coming here for how many years now? Guess what? We come back and talk every year. And we tell them, we feel safer walking around in the evening in Mexico than we do in our own hometown. Mm. And you know what? Honestly, any place in the world. If you're wandering around drunk in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's unsavory characters everywhere in the world. So it's not a Mexico thing. If you're drunk, if you're wandering around the wrong part of the town at the wrong time of the day, it doesn't matter where you are. You can...
Yeah, if you have like $2,000 sticking out of your pocket and you're wearing a $25,000 Rolex watch and you're drunk at 3 a.m., walking around with a joint in your mouth, you might have a problem.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what country, city, right, or whatever you're in.
Yeah, but for everybody else, it's nothing, right?
It's nothing.
Yeah. Okay, great. Cynthia, I want to thank you for being on the Punish Radio Show. You've enlightened us about Playa del Carmen and helped us. You have a blog, right?
Yes.
Is that a different address for that blog? Or you have a different web address? What is that?
For my Mexico blog, it's, if you Google, I think it's timeinplayadelcarmen.blogspot.ca, I believe is the proper website. But if you Google Time in Playa del Carmen, all is one word, you'll find my blog.
Time in Playa del Carmen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Google that. And your business, Nucerity, is what again?
WeRollSuccess.com.
Gotcha. WeRollSuccess.com. Cynthia, thanks for being on Punish Radio, enlightening us, educating us. And get in touch with Cynthia, folks. Call her at Nucerity. Get on her website. Check out her blog. And then come down to Playa del Carmen. It's wonderful. Enjoy yourself. Back to you guys later.
Good day, America. From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow. This concludes today's Johnny Punish Show. Produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. I'm your host, Johnny Punish, wishing you an amazing day. Until we meet again!